Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour, an editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on a review of the International Forecaster when we come back. Well, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot made in Japan is perking, he puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work and then shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. He puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, his designer jeans made in Singapore, and a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. After cooking up some breakfast in his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. Then after setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out, gets in his car made in Germany, goes looking as he has been for months for a good-paying American job. And then after the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, turns on his TV made in Japan, then ponders again why it is he can't find a good-paying American job. Now, instead of a good-paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of private business, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now. Remember, the number is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email. Send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, tonight we're reviewing the International Forecaster. Remember, I gave you a rundown on the money changer, and then I gave you a rundown last time on the privateer. Unfortunately, I'm unable to give you any news stories or quotations or the gems of wisdom that comes from Bill Buckler in the privateer. I mentioned that to you last time. I can't cite anything out of here. I wanted to. I wrote him a letter and I said, hey, I'd like to promote your newsletter. I would like to cite it and review it and talk about it on the air to my listeners. And they sent me a letter back and it was a little short and to the point. And he said, no way, Jose, you leave my newsletter out of your reviews and don't you talk about it. And we're dealing with a property right here. This belongs to Mr. Buckler. And it is so valuable. And the reason that I promote it, I mean, the guy was a little, I thought he was a little on the rude side, but, you know, that's life. But this newsletter is so valuable that I recommend it in spite of this guy's attitude. So I'm going to give you this guy's name and number again. I'm looking at a copy of The Privateer, and on the masthead, it's got the publisher, William A.M. Buckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R. Now, you'll see this name, Buckler, cited from time to time in other newsletters. So he's not a novice. I've seen him cited several times in the Mogambo Guru newsletter. Mogambo's a good one. It'll be out tomorrow, and I'll give you a review of Mogambo before we finish this up. Now, Mogambo is free, and I want to tell you about Kitco here in a second, but William A.M. Buckler is the privateer, Post Office Box 2004, Noosa Heads, Queensland, 4567, Australia. Kind of an odd address for us Yanks over here, but this is the way he's got it. It's William A.M. Buckler, P.O. Box 2004, Noosa Heads, N-O-O-S-A, Heads, H-E-A-D-S, two words, Queensland, Australia, 4567. Now, they've also got a webpage. Why don't you take a look at it? It's www.the-privateer.com. www.the-privateer.com. And their email is capt@the-privateer.com. capt@the-privateer.com. $180 a year in Australian money, whatever Australian money exchange is for. I imagine if you go to their website, they have a lot of American subscribers. This is an Australian newsletter. It's got more on the ball than anybody that I've ever seen. And remember, I told you the reason for the privateer, the reason it's so important, is that Buckler is probably the best economics teacher I've ever seen. You won't get an education out of the Harvard Business School half as good as you'll get from subscribing to the privateer. I give it to my 17-year-old daughter. I make her read it. That's what I think of it, in spite of the fact that I can't cite it or quote from it. If I did cite and quote from it, you would be dumbfounded. You'd be shocked. Shocked more than I'm going to shock you from the International Forecaster. Now, the International Forecaster is bigger. It's 40 pages a week. The Privateer is 12 pages every 2 weeks, 24 pages a month. So the International Forecaster, in size and scope and the total volume of news and information that you get, is probably the best value in the newsletter market. There are guys like James Cook that I like very well. He sells, all these guys recommend gold and silver. They're all into numismatics, or not all of them. Some of them are. James Cook is. Don McElvaney is. And I don't recommend everything that everybody sells or everything that everybody does, but I want to highly recommend this paper here called The Privateer, because it will give you an education like you cannot get in the business schools. And let me tell you that these high-powered CEOs that are running Enron and these companies that have been going upside down, you're going to see General Motors go upside down, just like Delphi has just gone upside down, and Ford is going upside down, and these people that are running these multinational corporations with hundreds of thousands of employees, running these companies into the ground, running them into bankruptcy, destroying the pension programs and the pension plans of their employees, and screwing over their stockholders and screwing over their investors. These people all have degrees from these prestigious Ivy League institutions like Harvard Business School and Yale and Princeton and the University of California and so on. And all of them combined can't hold a candle to this guy when it comes to teaching. I don't know if he's any smarter than Bob Chapman or anybody else. I'm just telling you that he can teach a lot better than anybody else. It's like going to economics 101. All right, now, Mr. Buckler, I have promoted your paper as best I can with my hands tied behind my back and blindfolded and unable to sell what it is that you say the best. But if, after all, it's his paper and he told me in no uncertain terms, don't you cite from my paper or make quotations from it. So, yes, sir, Mr. Buckler, I won't do that. But let me go to Bob Chapman over here. Last time we were talking about inflation and the hedonics that are used by the Department of Labor, these numbers are as phony as a $3 bill. If you want to know what the real rate of inflation is, right now, today, boys and girls, it's 10%. 10%. And when you apply these hedonics to this, if you don't live in a house, if you don't drive a car, if you don't pay any taxes, and if you leave out a number of other things like food and clothing and a few other things, yeah, inflation isn't going up. For instance, here's another thing that they're using here in inflation that he'll explain here as we go along. Let's suppose you want to buy a big screen TV. And last year, the price of a big screen TV was $1,400 at Costco. This year, the price of that big screen TV is $1,462. And so you say, oh, well, the price of big screen TVs has gone up. Not necessarily. You see, by using hedonics, they'll say, yeah, but last year's model didn't have this extra button. This year, instead of 9 buttons, it's got 10. So, last year's model was only 90% of what this year's model is. So when we adjust this extra button, or this extra feature that's in this newer TV, then it balances out. And the price of TVs actually hasn't gone up. Or, in some cases, has actually gone down. If they put 2 buttons on the damn thing, they went from 9 to 11 buttons, and last year they charged $1,400. This year they charge $1,460. Hell, the price of it, adjusted for inflation, may be that it went down to $1,390. The price of TVs, big screen TVs, has gone down by 0.1%. I mean, this is the kind of crap that you're getting out of your government. Boys and girls, if the damn thing costs $60 more, it's $60 more, irrespective of the quality of it. But of course, it's a methodology that they employ to keep the numbers down, to make you believe that inflation isn't 10%, it's only 3 or 4%. It's bad at 3 or 4%, but now listen to this. If we use the old numbers, if we use the old official figures, inflation is actually 5.3%. And that means we're already in recession because the economy is only growing at 3.5% and inflation is 5.3%. So this is called recession, which has been papered over by a massive increase in money and credit. Interest rates have risen, but barely on mortgages, on the 30-year from a 5.5% bottom to only 6.03%. Now, the real problem, like in any Ponzi scheme, is that we've run out of buyers. We've run out of buyers. They cannot afford to pay at today's prices, and as prices fall, they won't want to buy. They will want to wait for even lower prices. So we saw this happen once every 10 years over the past 45 years. Okay, now here's Bob Chapman. He says, now I've been watching this over the past 45 years, about every 10 years. We run up to the top and then it runs down. Now I'll tell you a little story here. Let me put a mark right there. When I broke in to business, I was 13 years old, and almost 14. I'll call it 14. I went to work for a fellow by the name of Russell Harvey at a chicken farm. I was a paper boy. I've been a paper boy since I was 11, so 11, 12, 13. So for 3 years, I've been delivering newspapers, and now Mr. Harvey offered me a job working on weekends part-time on his chicken farm. Boy, that was like pennies from heaven, you know, for a kid, 14-year-old kid. Gave me an excuse to leave home. That's what I wanted to do, and I got room and board. Worked on the weekends, did my paper route, and got $50 a month. Now, I worked on Saturday and Sunday all day. 14-hour days, by the way. You know, you start in the farm at 6 in the morning, and you finish about 8 or 9 o'clock at night when you gather the eggs, and you finish cleaning the eggs and clean up and feed the chickens and so on. So I'm putting in long days. Going to school. Now, Mr. Harvey explained the chicken business to me. So here's the way this works. It works in cycles. Business works in cycles. And the chicken business works on a 4-year cycle. And that's because chickens, from the time you buy baby chicks to the time they get into full production, takes 1 year. So, he said, this year is a moderate year, but we're on the down cycle. Next year, I'm only going to buy 1,000 baby chicks for my flock. I'm going to contract my operation because the price of eggs has been going down. And the reason the price of eggs is going down is because there are too many people in the egg business producing eggs. Too many people producing eggs. Now, he said, I'm a professional, I'm in the egg business, and I've been in the egg business now for 30 years, and I'm going to be in the egg business for the next 10 or 20 years until I die. It's my business. But he said when the price of eggs get up pretty high, you know, 80, 90 cents, a dollar a dozen, he said a lot of little marginal guys get into it. Some guy will buy 100, 200, 500 chicks. When prices get high, people will buy 100 chicks and they'll produce their own eggs. Then as the price goes down, as more and more eggs hit the marketplace, it drives the price down because there's a surplus of eggs. A surplus in the marketplace of anything drives the price down. So over the four-year period, when we get through with next year's shakeout, people will be selling their chickens and getting rid of them because the price of eggs are going down to 60 cents a dozen. Mark my words. Next year, the price of eggs will be 60. Well, I marked his words, and they only went down to 72 cents. That was the low end. Because I was getting into the egg business right at that time with Mr. Harvey's guidance and direction. I'm a 14-year-old kid. I got 132 chickens. I got a little FFA project. I'm breeding chickens, and I've got egg-laying chickens and a breeding program. All right. Now, at the bottom... We raised 1,000 chickens that year. The next year, he bought twice as many chicks. Now, while the price of eggs is down to 72 cents, he doubles his order for baby chicks. And he said, let me show you what's going to happen next year. When all of these people that got in get out, there's going to be a glut of chicken meat on the market. We're not going to get anything for our old hens. He was right. We got, I think, 16 cents a pound per chicken. Those are the old boilers, you know, that go to Campbell soups, you know, for your chicken noodle soup. That's those old laying hens. So we put on 2,000 baby chicks, though, and at the end of that next year, they came back into production, and sure enough, while the price of meat was down in the pits, the price of eggs started steadily climbing because now everybody's getting out of the business. So, the following year, the price of eggs went from 72 to about 85 cents. He said, watch this, we'll put on another 2,000 next year. We did, and the price of eggs went up even higher and higher. Finally, when they got up at the end of the third year, he said, now, how many chicks do we want to buy next year? And I said, well, Mr. Harvey, they're already at $1.05 a dozen. I mean, you know, eggs are at a high price. Now, if what you taught me in the past is true, the egg market is going to collapse next year. And he said, that's exactly right. So we're going to buy 1,000 chicks, and we're going to dump tons of chicken right now because the price of chicken is high, 32 cents a pound. So we were dumping chickens as fast as we could to get ahead of the market. Now, that's the way you buy stocks and bonds, but it's the way you buy gold and silver. It's the way you produce eggs and chicken. It's the way business is. What you do is you buy low and sell high. But over the long haul, if you stay in the business, in the good years and in the bad years, it'll average out. So we're going to be in the business, and we're going to stay in the business year in and year out. So right now, if you're in the real estate business, we're expecting a collapse in real estate prices. That doesn't mean you have to get out of real estate. It means you got to get out of your marginal real estate. I've got a little bit of real estate. Now, I don't have any real estate that's leveraged. I don't have any real estate that's mortgaged. I'm free and clear. I've cut back on real estate. And I'm ready for the collapse of real estate prices, which is just on the cusp. Here it comes. And I've been in real estate since 1968. And then I'm not complaining about the real estate market. I'm just telling you that the numbers that come out of government are lies. The inflation rate is not 4.3%. If we discount for hedonics, it's 5.3%. And if we tell you the truth and we add in housing prices and gasoline prices and taxes, it's 10%. Now, I've been telling you that it's 12%. The truth of the matter is it is 12%, but it's 10% by anybody's estimate. My estimate is that it's 12%. That's the number that I come up with based upon what I see going on around me. Now, this is not the only time, boys and girls, that we've seen 12% or 10% inflation. Can you remember 1979, 80, 81, when interest rates hit 21%? when the world looked like it was going upside down. All right. Now, we're going into hyperinflation. We're going into a period of depressed prices in houses. But it's not the end of the world. The Argentines went through it in 2001. The Argentine economy is on the rebound. Argentina is a place to make money. There's lots of money to be made, whether there's a depression or whether there's a boom time. There was fortunes made in all kinds of businesses through the 1930s. You know, opportunity, boys and girls, is like rain. It's everywhere. There is more opportunity out there today. I told one of my students the other day, we were coming in here to into the farm, and we're talking about opportunity, and this guy says, I just can't. Oh, my God, the world's coming to an end, and I just don't know what to do. I said, son, there's more opportunity out there than you can shake a stick at. And I told him about some of the neat deals that are out here. There are neat real estate deals right now to make profits on, right now, today. But not the way most of these people are out here, leveraging themselves out to the moon and the stars, going into debt up to their eyeballs. Now, boys and girls, I teach a business school here. Go to the website and take a look at our business school. Go to the website, send me an email, and tell me you want that general law CD package. I'm sending that out to everybody. I don't cast pearls before swine. If you're not interested, forget about it. I don't want people to get involved in something that they're not interested in. But don't tell me now there's no opportunity out there in the midst of the lowest portion of the depression of the 1930s. There was money to be made. Opportunity was just like rain. It's everywhere. Can't walk through it without getting wet. Now remember now, over the past 45 years, Bob Chapman's telling you here, he says, now pay attention. Boys and girls have been watching this for years, just like old man Harvey been watching this for years. These old timers have been around. You know, I'm one of those old timers now. I've been around the block a few times for you kids. And I can tell you where the bodies are buried and where the rubber meets the road and where the bear does it. So can Bob Chapman. All right, now the fall and qualifying will worsen as interest rates rise. Now, have you noticed interest rates are on the rise? The Fed's been raising interest rates. Okay. I don't care how much they raise interest rates, but I know this. And I want to be in a liquid position. Give you an illustration over here. The other day, a guy came to me and says, hey, would you like to buy this? There's 87 acres for sale down here in the bottom. And he wants $5,000 an acre for it. And I said, no, I don't think I want to buy it. And he said, well, if you don't want to buy it, then I'm going to sell it to old Bob over here. I said, that's fine. You can go sell it to old Bob. That 87 acres here about 15 years ago was selling for $1,000 an acre. And it'll be selling for $1,000 an acre very shortly. And when that 87 acres down there is selling for $1,000 an acre, I'll go down there and buy it. But I'm going to pay $5,000 an acre now at the top of the real estate bubble. Now's the time that you want to be in a liquid position and not in dollars either, because these dollars now are going to be like Argentine pesos. They're losing value. Now, the dollar is strong, but that's caused by all of this money coming in from the multinational corporations. That's a temporary aberration. Don't be deceived by the value of the dollar being at 90 cents compared to the euro. And the dollar is in a long-term bear market. It's going down. It'll go down to around 50 or 60 cents on the dollar. It's in the deflation mode. We're going into hyperinflation. I don't care. It's bad for America. It's bad for people. It's bad for the Chinese. It's bad for everybody. Inflation sucks. Inflation is terrible. And I wish we didn't have it. But boys and girls, I didn't make it this way. So don't get mad at me. Don't get uppity and say, George Gordon, it's all your fault. I'm here to tell you, I didn't create that. But I'm going to make money off of it, and I'm going to benefit from it. I'm going to take advantage of it. And a lot of you people are going to lose your shirts, and I'm going to say, well, God, I'm sorry as hell. But it's not my fault when your house is foreclosed on. I didn't do it to you. And that's why I advise to my students that if you've got an IQ of 100, if you'll subscribe to two or three of these newsletters and start paying attention to the real numbers, start paying attention to what's going on out here in the real world, you can take the same kind of evasive action that the rest of us are. Only I'm gonna add on one more little piece of evasive action. None of these guys writing newsletters over here are telling you to stockpile food and supplies. Now, unlike the 1930s when we went through a depression, money was very, very valuable. It was hard to come by. But boy, once you came by a little money, it bought a lot of stuff. This depression is going to be exactly the opposite to that. When we get Helicopter Ben in on the Federal Reserve printing money up, you're going to have tons and tons of money and very, very little to buy with it. And then it's compounded by the fact that we're importing so much from overseas. All of your shoes come from China. Only 1% of the shoes that we consume in America are made here in America. So you need four pairs of shoes. I use a pair of shoes a year. I got four pairs of shoes on the shelf ready for the next 4 years. Why do I have four pairs of shoes? Well, if all the shoes come from China, and if the dollar collapses, the Chinese are not going to sell us shoes for nothing. They got to get paid. And they're not going to get paid until the economic system gets realigned. So after the collapse, you can rest assured that our governments and a lot of other governments will get together and they will change the color of your money to something new. They'll change the rules of the game. And then when the rules of the game get changed, and then they come out with new money, then you'll be able to import again. Now here's what happened in 1933. Franklin Roosevelt closed the banks. Picture this now, boys and girls. Let's learn a lesson. Let's suppose that the banks close for 6 weeks, which is what happened in 1933. Can you live for 6 weeks without writing any checks, without using any credit cards? Because that's exactly what just happened to those people down in New Orleans. People had money in the bank. And when the electricity goes off, you can't access it. And so here's these people down along the Gulf Coast, and they're right now today, and they're going, oh my God, what am I going to do? These people could not think ahead 6 weeks. Much less 4 to 6 years. These people can't even prepare, for crying out loud, for 6 weeks. When this thing turns turtle, the banks are going to close. How long will they close? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But the last time they closed in this country, it was 6 weeks. So, are you going to prepare for 6 weeks? Hell, I prepared for 6 months. How do I know they're going to be closed for 6 weeks? What if they're closed for 6 months? What if there's insurrection? What if there's civil war? What if the people of America come unhinged and we have the kinds of riots that you see going on in Paris and France today? And it spreads all over the country. You know, you got a bunch of people down here in New Orleans. I think there's 1.5 million people homeless. Can you picture what's going to happen if you get 30 or 40 million people homeless? Can you imagine what people might do? I don't know. But I want to be prepared for it. That's why I'm suggesting that you prepare for it. Now, these old-timers, like this guy, Bob Chapman here, and I'm going to say old-timer like this guy, Bill Buckler. I don't know how old Buckler is. Hell, he might be 26 years old or he might be 94. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. But these people have some real, honest-to-God information. And as I read these newsletters, I say, my God, I wish, do my students know this? I wonder if this guy, does he understand that? I hear people from time to time and they say, well, I'm going to buy a new home. I say, my God, if that guy read The Privateer, if he read The International Forecaster or The Mogambo Guru, he not only wouldn't be buying that new home, he would be selling the real estate that he's got today. He'd be unloading that crap. No, I don't tell people that they need to unload every piece of real estate they've got. You know, there's some real estate that you need to have. Like my farm here, I need to have the farm. Got to have a place to put all the stuff. But you don't want to be in debt. Now, if you've got credit card debt, and you've got a car out here, the other day a guy says, well, I'm going out and buy a new car. New car. Boys and girls, I'm 67 years old. I've never had a new car in my life. If I live to be 170, I will never have a new car. New car. If that isn't the poorest buy that God ever put on planet Earth, I don't know what is. And in my business school, I teach people how to buy cars, how to get the most bang for the buck. I've got students over here that buy cars for $3,000 and sell them for $7,000. After they drive them 3 years. You want to learn how to buy a car for $3,000 and then sell it 4 years from now for $7,000? I mean, you know, there's ways to make money in life, boys and girls, and going down here to the Happy Harry used car lot and buying a car and financing it through the bank over here and paying 14% interest ain't one of them. If it is, it's beyond me. I don't know how to do that. But I know how to buy, sell, and trade. And I know that these boys here in the newsletter game are giving us better numbers than we're getting out of Washington, and that's the point of today's program. Now, hang on, I got to give you a reminder, and we'll come back here to this thing of inflation on the International Forecaster when we come back. Hey, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. Remember that all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967 to order yours. And then finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or the management or the staff of this network or local radio station. Furthermore, they don't necessarily represent the beliefs, values, etc. Of the people that I promote, like Bob Chapman on the International Forecaster or Bill Buckler or anybody else. I'm not here to tell you that these guys recommend us here at the Law Hour. Hell, they may hate our guts. I don't know. So tuck that one away in your heart. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or the phone number, 417-273-4967. All right, talking about inflation from the International Forecaster. The fall and qualifying will worsen. They're talking about houses now as interest rates rise. Interest rates have been going up now over the past year and a half. The 15-year fixed-rate mortgage is probably the answer, the best buy. But can you afford the payments in a recession or a depression? As well, you won't see $600 billion, that's 5% of the gross domestic product, pulled out of homes to live on in the years 2005-2006. Now, up until right now, people have been refinancing their houses. The government, the Federal Reserve, they lowered the interest rates down to 1%, and then they encouraged you people to go out here and use your house as an ATM machine. And so in 2000, 2001, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you've been going out here and refinancing your house and pulling the cash out and going out here and buying a new swimming pool and an SUV and a big screen TV. You've been living the life of Riley and everything's going along hunky-dory. Now, unfortunately, at the very same time in the housing market, the new builders have been building 2 million housing units a year. And 25% of these housing units are going into the speculation side of the market. These aren't houses to be lived in. These are just houses for buying, selling, and trading. Now, when you have speculation, you have a shakeout in the speculative price at some point in time. Let me give you an illustration. One time, a shipload of sardines arrived in New York City from Norway. So a broker went down and he inquired of the ship's captain what the price or what he had and what the price was. And he said, well, I have an entire shipload of sardines for 5 cents a can. Now, you know, a can has 3 1/4 ounces in it, and they retail for about 87 cents a can. At least they do where I'm at. Here was a whole shipload for a nickel. And this broker couldn't believe his good fortune. He said, Captain, I will take the entire boatload for a nickel. The captain couldn't believe his good fortune. He said, my God, I can unload the ship and go back to Norway and pick up another load. Sold the whole damn load to one guy in one transaction. So they got busy, unloaded the ship, and the broker rented a warehouse, and they stocked the warehouse up with a whole shipload of sardines for a nickel a can. So the broker called a wholesaler, or a jobber, I guess called a jobber first, and he said, hey, I have a whole warehouse full of sardines for 10 cents a can. And the jobber came down, he took a look at the sardines, he looked at the warehouse, and he says, my God, a whole warehouse full of sardines for only 10 cents a can. I can't believe my good fortune. So he bought the whole damn warehouse. And the broker doubled his money. The ship captain is on his way back to Norway to pick up another load. The jobber is sitting here with a whole warehouse full of sardines for only 10 cents a can. He couldn't believe his good fortune. He called a wholesaler and he said, hey, listen, I got a whole warehouse full of sardines here for 20 cents a can. And so the wholesaler came down, he looked at the warehouse, and he says, I'll buy the whole damn thing. 20 cents a can. I can't believe my good fortune. He bought the whole damn warehouse. So he goes out to Kroger's and Safeway and all the big retailers out there, and he says, hey, I got sardines for 40 cents a can. 40 cents? So the buyers from all the big retailers come out, and they say, wow, look at this. We'll take them all. 40 cents a can? We can't beat the price. We'll buy the whole thing. Well, one of the buyers from Safeway, after they had bought the sardines, said, well, let me open a can and sample it and taste it. So he opened a can, and he bit into one sardine. His face scrunched up. He spit it out, and he says, my God, these sardines aren't edible. Why, these sardines are too salty. Why, these sardines are worthless. And the wholesaler said, well, these sardines aren't for eating. These sardines are for buying and selling. Now, let's learn a lesson here, boys and girls. You got a housing market out there that's for buying and selling, not for living in. These people aren't buying houses. 25% of the people buying new houses today, they're not buying those houses to live in. They're not even buying those houses to rent. They're buying those houses to speculate upon the bigger fool theory. That if I buy a house for $200,000 today, I can sell it in 6 months for $225,000 or $250,000. I don't even have to put up the $200,000. I can go borrow that at the bank. And that's what they're doing. They're going to the bank, and that's called a leveraged buyout. So down in San Diego, they're lining up down there, and they're buying houses. They're making commitments to buy houses and condominiums before they're even built. For, get this, I think the median price house in San Diego now is $600,000. Now, how many Mexican immigrants can afford a $600,000 house working at minimum wage? Huh? Come on, boys and girls. In California, I think the last number I saw, 16% of 31 million people in California could afford to buy a house at the median price range in California on a 30-year mortgage. 16%? Well, you've just about got everybody priced out of the market right now. So as they say down at the Blue Room, you know, read them and weep. There's no money to be made here in the new house market. Now, there's money to be made in real estate. Lots of money. I mean, God, there's just deals everywhere. But that doesn't mean that that every deal that's out there in real estate is a good deal. Most of them, about 90% of them, ain't worth having. Now, those inflation figures of the old formula, remember talking about inflation, 5.3%, are in reality over 10%. We use the increase in aggregates formula, and ultimately we will prevail. Over the past 3 years, inflation has risen over 10% per year. Over the past 3 years, inflation's been running 10% a year, while the government's telling you it's 2, 3, and 4%. Now, if you're running your business and you're running your budget and you're planning on your future retirement based upon these numbers coming out of the government, I think you're going to be one sick puppy when reality slaps you up alongside the face. I'm not buying into those numbers. You won't catch anybody here on the conservative side of the business ledger talking about that kind of insanity. I haven't talked to a conservative businessman that's held a stock in the last 36 months. I mean to tell you that the people that I run around with haven't had a share of stock in a public company in the last 3 years. And that's because there's no money in it. If you're buying and selling stocks, you're losing your ass at 10% a year. The best stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average was Gates Microsoft paying 5% and inflation's 10. Go give Bill Gates $10,000. And what you're doing is paying him $10,000 to take your loan. Well, if I had $10,000, I sure as hell wouldn't loan it to Bill. Now, Bill's probably a pretty nice guy, so don't take this personal, Bill. But, you know, you got more money than I got, and the last thing you need is a $10,000 loan from me that you want me to pay you $500 a year to take. I don't need to pay you $500, Bill, to borrow $10,000 from me on your stock. Talk about being overpriced. There isn't a stock on the Dow Jones Industrial Average that pays money. They all lose. And the rest of the stock market's worse than that. And that's why I'm telling you that there's nobody. Now, bonds are about where stocks are. And people are out here buying bonds here that are paying them about 5% interest. They're not even 5%, but, you know, they're buying. The interest, the boys and girls, that they're receiving is 5 or 6 percentage points below what those bonds are going to mature for, and you got to wait years. Now, 10% a year compound interest. Do you know what the magic of compounding is? Well, let me give you another lesson here. Here's the magic of compounding. A little boy has a horse. It's actually his daddy's horse. And his daddy gives the little boy $12, and he says, take the horse into town, son, and have him shoed. It's what it cost in the old days to shoe a horse. Now, a horse has four legs. It takes four horseshoes and 32 nails, 8 nails on each shoe. So the little boy gets into the farrier, that's called the horseshoe man, and the horseshoe man says, well, little boy, I'm running a special today. Running a special for little boys just like you. And the little boy's about 12 years old. He says, well, what's the special? He says, well, I'm going to give you the horseshoes free. And he did. He handed the little boy the four horseshoes. He says, the shoes are free.
Now, it takes 32 nails. And I'm going to give you the 32 nails free. Here's the nails. Now, all I'm going to charge for is my labor. And you can take the savings that you're going to make today down to the ice cream store and pig out on ice cream, little boy. Sound like a good deal? Little boy says, yeah. Well, that sounds like a hell of a deal. And the farrier said, now here's the deal. You pay me one penny, and I will put one of your horseshoes on your shoe, on your horse, and charge you one penny to drive that nail in. And the second nail, I want 2 pennies. And the third nail, I want 4 pennies. And we'll double it 32 times. And you can keep the change. Now, there's your homework assignment, boys and girls. You just take one penny, and you double that to 2, to 4, to 8, to 16, to 32, to 64. Do that 32 times, and I'm going to give you the answer. The number is $40 million to shoe that horse at compound interest. That's called the magic of compounding. And that's why the banks are anxious to loan you money. And you people are so anxious to borrow it at 5 or 6%. Don't see me out there borrowing any money. Don't see me paying that compounding. I like to profit from compounding. I don't like to pay it. And so what's happening over here is the magic of compounding has now come into play in our economy. And we've been borrowing money and borrowing money and borrowing money. Well, now we're paying interest on an $8 trillion debt. And every time that the interest rate goes up by 1%, that's 1% of $8 trillion. Now, a trillion is 1,000 billion. Yeah, that's right. 1% of 8,000 is how much? Well, watch this. Take 8,000 times 0.01, that's $80 billion. Every time the interest rate goes up 1 percentage point, it costs you $80 billion, Americans, to pay the interest on your national debt. Hey, isn't that just real special? Now, you take 10% inflation. You take an item that costs a dollar today. Next year, it's going to cost $1.10. Then at the end of the second year, is it going to cost you $1.20? Oh, no. You take that dollar and 10 cents times 0.10. You take the dollar 10, it's going to cost you $1.11. So now it goes up to $1.21 the second year. Now take 10% the third year. That's 10% of $1.21. And you just keep multiplying that out at 10%. Just go ahead and do that. Just take an item that costs you a dollar and multiply that out at 10% interest. It can't go on very long, boys and girls, and that's why inflation impoverishes everybody. I don't like inflation. I'm not excited about inflation. I don't want any inflation. I'm not profiting from inflation. I'm profiting from the poor saps that lose their ass on their investments through inflation. And then I come along like that. Just told you about this guy, 87 acres down here. That's right. I don't deny it. The going price for land here is $5,000 an acre. Talked to a guy the other day, and he said he's going to pay $65,000 an acre in North Carolina for a piece of ground out there. I said to my wife, I said, boy, that is insane. If I ever heard of insanity, that's the peak of it. Now, of course, if you hang on to your $65,000, it's losing its purchasing power at 10% a year. $65,000, let's learn a lesson here. Plug that into your calculator. Times 0.10. You lose $6,500 in purchasing power in 1 year if you hang on to the paper money. Now, out of your $65,000, you get $58,500. Now take $58,500 and you lose 10% of that purchasing power the second year. That's $5,800. Now add the $5,800 to the $6,500, and there's your compounded loss. Hanging on to valueless or depreciating paper money. That's what happened in Argentina just 4 years ago. That's what's happening right now in America. 10% inflation is what you're living with. And it's going to 20%, and then 30%, and then 50%. And then one of these days, boys and girls, it'll be 50% every 6 months. And then it'll be 50% every month, and then every week. And then at some point in time, the paper currency ceases to pass as money. It just, nobody will take it. And long before that, there is going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's the lesson that we're getting here out of the International Forecaster. This is page 4, talking about inflation. My God, when I see these kinds of numbers, and I see them laid out in spades in front of me, those inflation figures of the old formula say that 5.3% are in reality over 10% inflation. We use the increase in aggregate formula, and ultimately we're going to prevail. You'll see these numbers come to fruition. It's going on around you right now. There isn't anything that's going up at 5%. Hell, the price of gasoline, the price of houses, the price of your taxes are all going up, boys and girls, at the rate of 10%. Or more. Right now, in front of your very eyeballs. Now, when you see the prices of something like the Producer Price Index, which is put out every week, or every month, one or the other, either every week or every month. And it goes up 0.3% or 0.6%. My God, boys and girls, that's 0.6% for 1 month. Take that 6 times 12, that's 7.2% a year. You need to understand what these numbers are. That's why I'm telling you the privateer is priceless. Because Buckler sits there and works the numbers out for you and says, boys and girls, can you say we're doomed? Now, I gotta chide Bob Chapman a little bit. One of the things that my wife and I, in reading the International Forecaster, have a complaint about. You got to remember that Chapman is an economist, and he uses numbers like CPI and PPI, you know, and SEC. These letters, these acronyms, he uses without the explanation to go with them. And so you got to read through several pages, and then pretty soon, like BLS. And then here he says Bureau of Labor Statistics. Okay, that's good. Because, see, if you don't know what the letters BLS stand for, and you're reading this article, you're going to read BLS and CPI and PPI and SEC, and you know, it doesn't mean anything to you. That's why when you're reading these economics newsletters, most of you truck drivers and plumbers and carpenters and housewives throw your hands up and say, oh, God, I can't understand this. All right. That's why the privateer is so valuable, because he takes you through and he says the CPI. And then he explains what that CPI is. It's kind of a newsletter for truck drivers, and I'm a truck driver. I'm an old-timey truck driver, boys, and I couldn't understand this either. One day when I learned how to read and I could understand this, and oh my God, the damn government's lying to me. President Bush gets up there. That Bush guy, he's one of the best liars I ever saw. Hell, he's better than a damn preacher. He can keep a straight face, look at you right in the eyeballs, and lie to you, make you believe it, and make you feel real good. Jerry Falwell could learn a big bunch. You know, Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Hell, these preachers ain't got anything on George Bush or Alan Greenspan. At least Colin Powell. Remember that Secretary of State we had the last time around before the new one? Colin Powell, the former Army, and he was the Chief of Staff, wasn't he? of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, after he lied to us about these weapons of mass destruction, Colin Powell had the grace to say, I was deceived. I gave out a lot of bad information. I got to hand it to that Colin Powell. That Colin Powell's got more honesty in his little finger than George Bush and the rest of those jerks in Washington, all of them put together. And just that one little bit of grace over there, you know, I was deceived. I gave out a lot of bad information there. I appreciate that, Mr. Powell. Thank you very much. I believed your story too, Mr. Powell. When I heard Powell's presentation there before the United Nations convinced me, I said, by God, if Powell says that's true, it's got to be true. Come to find out, Powell comes back and says, nope, I made a mistake. Now listen, when Powell makes those kinds of admissions, he's speaking to a group of people. And you never hear about those kinds of admissions coming out of our politicians like Colin Powell. That's never on the 6 o'clock news. You never hear about that from any of these jerks. But you get that kind of reporting, you get that kind of information from these newsletters. That's why I'm so gung-ho on the newsletters, and this is where you go to get the information, to put the numbers together, to save your ass out of this debacle that's about to envelop the whole world. Not just America, boys and girls. You people in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, in Europe, everywhere in the world, you're all tied to the biggest economy in the world. When America turns turtle, you South Koreans are going to be eating turtle soup. Let me tell you, we buy from you. You sell to us. Your economy depends upon what you sell to us Americans. Now, we're not paying you. We're just giving you IOUs. Those IOUs we've been giving you for the last 20 years are worth less than toilet paper. Kind of reminds me of John Wayne toilet paper. You know, it's rough and it's tough, and it don't take no SH off of nobody. Well, that's the paper that we're issuing to you people around the world. It's rough, it's tough, and it won't take any SH, and it won't pay you jack squat for anything from anybody. You'd be better off with a roll of Charmin. Hell, you'd be better off with a Sears catalog than with the stocks and bonds that we're offering you. Well, I'm about out of time. Remember, this is the International Forecaster. The International Forecaster is available from the International Forecaster, Bob Chapman, P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. Go to their webpage. It's the International Forecaster, www.theinternationalforecaster.com. It's an easy one. If you can spell the International Forecaster. Now, if you've been to public school, you might be in trouble. The email address is International Forecaster. That's two words. No the, just International Forecaster at yahoo.com. All right. Let me give you our final reminder, and we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, of course. You're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. And yes, we are open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. There's our signal. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. Thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.